Good morning, church. It is wonderful to see you all this morning. After coming home from a holiday vacation, I was unfortunately not at the Christmas Eve service as we got to go visit my wife's family up in New York. We had snow for a day and a half, and then the rain came and all of it disappeared, all 10 inches. So yeah, we had a rainy Christmas. But we are back, and it is December 27th. And so this morning, I love being able to preach. It really is a blessing. It really is a humbling opportunity that I love to do. And it's December 27th, so we're 2 days after Christmas. So I figured I'd move on, you know. I kind of have this struggle. Maybe you guys can relate with this. I have this struggle where I'm kind of calendar-focused, right? So I focus on the next thing on my calendar, and then when that's done, I move on to the next thing. And so with holidays, we kind of do the same thing, right? Back in November, we had Thanksgiving. Day after Thanksgiving, you're doing Black Friday. Day after that, you're like, all right, Christmas, that's on my radar. So you spend the whole month focusing on Christmas, and you're leading up to it. And Christmas Day comes, and it's joyful, and it's awesome, and you worship Jesus, and you spend all this time with your family. And the day after, it's like, all right, next is New Year's. And we move right on, right? You guys relate with that? That's something that I struggle with, is focusing on the calendar dates and what's next. Well, what I'd like to do for this service, I'm going to be talking about New Year's stuff, like resolutions, right? That's what we think of. And really, if you're not thinking about New Year's all this time, you're thinking about Christmas and December 26th all the way to, you know, New Year's. That's 1 week that you have to plan all your resolutions, or else you're going to miss out. So you only have a week to do this. So I'm going to be talking about resolutions, but in a very different way, because what I don't want is, you know, in the same way I have this habit of moving on to the next thing, I don't want to leave Christmas behind. Because what Christmas is much more than a holiday. It really is celebrating Jesus. We spent all that time intimately focusing on the life of Christ. And I don't want to leave him behind on Christmas. And so I look forward to what's next. The next thing is New Year's. It's the new year. It's 2021. And I want to bring my excitement for Jesus right into this new year. So we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, but we want to make Christ the center of those things. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. The title of my message was Get in Shape. And that is because if you look up New Year's resolutions, there are three top resolutions. The number one resolution that people have for New Year's, if you look it up, you probably guess it's exercising. It's getting in shape. People want to get fit. The second most popular one is eating healthy. They want to improve their diet. That makes sense. The third one is they want to get better at saving their money. They want to improve their budgeting skills. All three of these are fine resolutions. They're all good things, and they all make sense. They usually don't last, but they're good things, right? And what I noticed about these three things is that, you know, you kind of can focus on the exercising one, because if you're exercising and you're working out and you're getting in shape, well, you have to diet or else you're wasting all your time. I used to try to work out while eating pizza, and nothing happened. I didn't know what was going on, all right? I didn't get it. But you have to diet, and so if you're improving your diet, well, you're probably eating at home more. You're making more home-cooked meals like plain chicken and broccoli and you're making home-cooked meals, and you're probably not eating out as much. So now you're saving money. It's hand in hand, right? So we're going to focus on the exercise part. Now, the thing is, I used to, back at when I was in person at college at Word of Life Bible Institute, I used to be really big into working out. I loved exercising. I loved working out. It was a huge love of mine. Since then, it's been about 4 years, I've grown more of a love for food. So I've lost my expertise on working out. So if you're a PE instructor in here or anyone who's in physical education, please don't talk to me afterwards about what I said wrong. But I'm not here to actually preach exercising and getting in shape. In fact, I'm gonna give you a verse real quick that defines what my goal is today and what I hope all of our goals is as we move forward to the new year. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says to young Timothy, who he's training to be a pastor, he says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So there is profit in all these resolutions. There is profit in physical fitness. But in comparison to the profit that we get from godliness, it is very little value. And so what we're seeking today is going to be training, getting in shape spiritually. How do we seek godliness? How do we get in shape spiritually to become more like Jesus? That's our goal. And so that's what we're aiming at for today. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started, but I'd love to pray with you all real quick, so let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we got to spend the past month and a half, 2 months really diving deep on who you are and what you've done for us. When you sent Jesus to be born in this world as a man, in the flesh, live a perfect life, and to die for us, Lord. We spent all this time being reminded of the beautiful thing you've done, the life-changing thing you've done in our world by sending Jesus, because he is our Savior. And he is the reason that we have life. By believing in him, our sins are forgiven, and we get to live in you and have a relationship with you. Lord, we praise you, and we don't want to leave Jesus behind. As we move forward to this new year, let's keep Christ the center. As I preach today, let's keep Christ the center. This is your word. It's all about you. Thank you for giving us this time. Open our hearts to what you have for us today. We love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, before you work out, there are a few things that usually you need ahead of time. Or else you're probably setting up for failure if you don't have these things. I know for me, before I went to college and I was big into working out, I wasn't good at it because I was never prepared. Well, one of the things you need is an instructor or some kind of example, some kind of image of where you want to go, something you can trust, someone who can tell you what to do. Because if you don't know what to do, you go in blind, you walk into the gym, you say, I'll try that machine, and then you look very silly trying to figure out what it does. And maybe you don't work out the right body part, you do something weird. But if you have someone instructing you, someone telling you how to do it, for instance, if I had Dwayne The Rock Johnson telling me how to work out, I'm going to end up big if I listen. I'm going to be really big. That guy's huge because he knows what he's doing. That's how he ended up where he's at, so I can trust him. Well, when we're seeking godliness, the perfect example of how to do that is in Jesus Christ. So we have our physical instructor, you know, our PE instructor spiritually is in Jesus. He's the perfect example of godliness in 1 Peter 2:21. He says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Christ, by suffering, has given us an example of how to be godly. And in reality, godliness is just Christ-likeness, because Christ is God in the flesh. So in Scripture, we have this perfect example of godliness, a perfect example of love in his life as he reacted to other individuals, the way he treated people, perfect love. In his death, dying for the sins of all mankind, perfect love. His obedience, every step he made, he was led by the Holy Spirit. He sought out the Father. He prayed to him. And when he died on the cross, he was obeying what the Father told him to do, a perfect example of obedience. In servanthood, in the way he served those around him, in the way he washed the feet of his disciples, we get a perfect example of all those things. So if you want the best instructor for godliness, look to Jesus. And the cool part is, he's given instructions on how to be like him. He's given the cheat code, the way to do it, in his word. In John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says things like, love your neighbor. Love those you hate. He gives commandments on how to be like him. And so we can follow those instructions. He is a trustworthy source. Another trustworthy source, a good example, would be Paul, who wrote a large margin of the New Testament. He is a great example of how to train in godliness. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. And so we know that Paul is a trustworthy source because he's not saying, hey, follow me because I'm really fit. He's saying, follow me because I follow that guy, and he's the perfect example of fitness spiritually. That's trustworthy. And so we have instructors that we should use as an example to follow when we're seeking godliness. Another thing you need before you work out, I say this is a need. Some people who work out might disagree, but a workout partner is a need. Especially if you're doing like benching and you're trying to hit your max, guess what? If you don't have someone to spot you, you could die. It's life or death. A will to my parents, say, hey, this is my will to give someone every time I'm about to bench because it's dangerous. All right? If I don't have someone there to watch me, it could fall. There it is, game over. I'm with Jesus. If you have a workout partner, you don't have to worry about that. You're not as much in danger. You also have someone to tell you when you're messing up. You have someone to say, hey, your form's off. Hey, you're not doing that correctly. You also have someone to encourage you. You have someone to say, hey, you know, you skipped that rep. What are you doing? Oh, I'm tired. Nah, you got to hit that. You know your goals. They keep you accountable. But, you know, they're also seeking the same thing you're after. Well, in our spiritual life, when we're seeking godliness, we're in desperate need of that. In 2 Timothy 2:22, this is one of the verses that I really love, and I share it with all the guys that I'm with, all the young guys. You guys know this verse. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, now flee from youthful lusts. This is Paul's encouragement to Timothy. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. He's saying pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Those four things define Christ-likeness. Pursue these things with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Paul is saying don't try to do this alone. Run after Jesus with someone, with others who are running after Jesus. That's what we need. That's what I need. And that's what we're called to here. So before you work out, you need a partner. You need a workout partner. Whether it's one friend, two friend, a brother and sister, maybe your wife. My wife is a great workout partner for me. She runs after Jesus with me. Maybe it's a whole church congregation. We're blessed here at FCC. We have an awesome church body, and I'm encouraged frequently by the members of this body. You need a workout partner. Another thing you need before you work out is a plan. You need a workout plan. I mentioned earlier, if you walk in the gym and you don't have a plan, well, now you're stuck. You're like, I guess I'll run on the treadmill or something. I don't know. But if you have a plan, you can define, hey, on this day, this is what I'm going to do. On this day, I'm going to do this. You know, Monday's going to be chest day. Tuesday's going to be back day. Friday's going to be legs. And nobody likes leg day, but I'm going to do it. You can do that ahead of time. You plan and you know what you're doing so you don't doubt yourself. You don't second guess. You don't struggle. Well, in the same way, we need a workout plan when we're trying to grow in godliness. Luckily for us, in 2 Peter 1:3, the author mentions that God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have everything we need for life and godliness. God has given it to us through his word and through the example of Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, the scripture says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You want to know how to train in righteousness? The Word of God tells you how. It gives you instruction. It gives you everything you need. So if you want a workout plan, come to the Word and you'll find it. But also, have you ever tried going into Scripture in the morning or something? You're like, all right, I'm going to set a goal. I'm going to get in the Word every day. And then you get in, but you don't have a plan. So you're like, I'm just going to open up. Well, 2 Chronicles is quite boring. You know, it's like you don't have a plan, so you don't know what you're doing. You don't have a goal. But if you set a plan ahead of time, it's much more achievable and it's much more fruitful. So we need a workout plan, and we have that in the Word of God. Now, another thing is when you plan out your workouts ahead of time, I mentioned, you know, Monday might be chest day, Tuesday might be back, Friday's legs. Oh. And you have these target areas for each day, because when you're working out, what you're doing is breaking down your muscle so that it can build up, it can recover bigger and stronger. That's the goal of working out. But you're breaking them down, so you can't just do chest, biceps every day, because then they're never gonna have time to recover and nothing's gonna grow. You're just gonna keep breaking and breaking and it's not gonna work. But if I said, all right, chest day is on Monday and leg day is on Friday, well now I can target specific areas each day. In the same way, In our walk with Christ, we need to examine ourselves and look for the areas that we really need to target and improve in. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. The psalmist's goal is the everlasting way. The psalmist's goal is godliness, And he realizes, if I want to attain that, I need help from the Lord. I need him to reveal to me the areas I need to grow in. I need him to take care of these areas. So he's asking God, reveal to me, where is it that I need to grow? What are the areas I need to target? If I'm working out and I look in the mirror and I'm in my home and my wife's watching me check myself out in the mirror, and I'm like, you know, honey, my biceps are looking really good. I'm in shape. But my stomach's like all the way out here. You know, she's going to say, oh, Greg, yeah, you're really in shape, all right. Round is a shape. And I'm going to say, oh, okay. But the reality is I'm not in shape. I'm focusing on the thing that I think is good because I'm ignoring what I really need to work on. Maybe I need to do cardio. Maybe I need to do core. Well, in the same way in our spiritual walk, it's very easy for us, and I say this for myself, it's very easy for me to pay attention to the areas that that are easier for me, that I'm good at, that are more natural for me. For instance, I feel the Lord's given me the spiritual gift of teaching. It's much more comfortable for me. I love to teach. It's a joy. And so sometimes I'll focus on, you know, Greg, you did a good job teaching on Tuesday. Or, you know, you're a pretty good, you know, teacher. You know, you preach the word, and that's really good. But then I ignore other areas of my life, such as anger and lacking love for others. And I see those areas, and I say, no, I'm in shape. Well, no. In fact, the Word of God says that would disqualify you from teaching if you're not focusing on those areas. So we have to look for those areas. Seek the Lord to reveal these areas to us. Seek the accountability from those workout partners to help see, hey, what are the areas I need to grow in? Because there's never a point that we've reached where we don't have an area we need to grow in. There's never a point where we've reached the godliness that we're seeking after until we're with Christ in heaven. We're not there, and we can't get there, but we can continue to strive on by looking for these areas. For instance, David, King David in the Old Testament, godly man. He was labeled by God as a man after God's own heart. God said that about him. That's a huge claim. David is a godly man, yet while he was king, he did a lot of things to glorify God. He did a lot of things to serve God and show him to the nation of Israel. Yet, he still stumbled and fell. He struggled because one day when the kings are supposed to go out to battle, he stayed at home and he saw a woman bathing on a rooftop and he committed adultery with her and then murdered her husband. David had a huge area in his life full of sin and he kept going on like, no, I'm a good king. I'm a man after God's own heart. Until Nathan the prophet comes to him and reveals to him, hey, brother, do you not realize what you've done? And he reveals to him his sin. And then David's response is what we're looking for. David's response for this sin was not, you know, oh, I'm going to put that to the side. I'm going to ignore that. Instead, David responds in Psalm 51 with a psalm of repentance. It's a huge psalm saying, God, I have sinned against you. I have done evil in your sight. Please forgive me with your loving kindness. He's begging God for his forgiveness. He's recognizing how horrible his sin was. He's not moving past his problems. He's not moving past his sins. He is bringing it to the Lord because God is the only one who can take care of it. And he says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so David comes to the Lord broken. If you want to build up your muscle, you have to break it down so you can build it up. In the same way, we need to come to the Lord broken and give him these areas of our life that need healing so that he can grow them. Luckily for us, too, we don't have to stay in those areas because Christ paid the price for those areas. He paid the price for those sins so that we don't have to stay there. There are many responses that people have when they find their brokenness, when they find their sin, when it's revealed to them. Either they ignore the sin. I've had that struggle before where I see an area I need to grow and I'm convicted of it. The Word of God, maybe I read something that revealed to me, oh, Greg, you're not doing well here. And instead of responding to it, I ignore it and put it to the side and focus on what's going well. Maybe I just stay broken. I realize my brokenness. I realize my sin. And I just stay broken and defeated, and I live in guilt, shame, and I let that eat me up, and I don't even want to seek Jesus because I feel so downcast and I feel so guilty and shameful. Another response is maybe I just give up and say, you know what? The Christian life is hard. Godliness is too hard. I can't attain this. I can't be like Jesus. And I just become apathetic and I stop trying. Or I have the correct response, which is the response David had in Psalm 51. And that is to praise God for his loving kindness. That is to praise God for his grace. It's to praise God that he sent his son Jesus to die, to pay the full price for my sin so that I don't have to be stuck there. I can have a relationship with him. And then, even better than that, he's given me his spirit to indwell in me and work in me to grow from those things so that he's at work in my life. I don't have to stay there. I don't have to stay defeated. Jesus says at the end of John 16 to his disciples, "You will fail me, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Jesus has done it, and we have Jesus. We don't have to stay there. The correct response is praising him for his loving kindness, and then God can build up those areas stronger. But to build up muscle stronger, you need certain things. If I work out and I tear down and I need to build up my muscle, I need a specific diet because I need protein to build up my muscle and I need certain things. If I'm just eating a bunch of junk food, it's not going to help out. So I need a specific diet. So for us, when we come broken to the Lord and we respond praising him for his loving kindness, we then need to fill up correctly. We need to fill ourselves with the things of the Lord, not the things of the world. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says here, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us," fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's talking about running a race here. He's talking about being fit, being in shape, running after Christ. But things getting in the way. He says, lay aside every sin. We know that the sin gets in our way. We just brought that to the Lord. He also says, lay aside every encumbrance. That's not just sin. That is anything that is distracting you from seeking Jesus. And so if I come to him broken, yet I'm praising him for his forgiveness and loving kindness, and I'm filling myself up with media, video games, I'm seeking comfort from my own rest or food or something else, and I'm not filling up on the right stuff. My diet is off. And those areas aren't going to build up stronger. I'm just going to come back to those, and I'm going to struggle more. If my diet is correct, if I'm filling myself with the Word of God, if I'm filling myself with the living bread that is Jesus, then I will not hunger anymore, and I will be able to grow in those areas because my diet's correct. We need a diet if we want to succeed in working out, just like we need the correct diet if we're to grow in godliness. Another thing you need if you want to succeed is correct form. If you're at the gym and you're trying to get a workout done and you don't have correct form, if I'm trying to bench but my elbows are out here or I'm not going down all the way or my grip is incorrect, those things matter. It'll change the entire body part that it works out if you don't have the right form. Or you hurt yourself. You could like throw out your back. You could injure yourself pretty bad if you don't have correct form. In the same way, if you're seeking godliness, you need correct form. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God as a workman, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." We want to be accurate handlers of the word of God. When we're seeking to grow in godliness and how we understand Jesus and how we see his life, we want to accurately understand it. We don't want to misinterpret anything. Because if we don't have correct form, we end up hurting ourselves. We could end up injured. So we want to be diligent to know the Word of God well. And that may mean when you're studying, if you have a question, hey, you have some workout partners. You have other people. You have your instructors. You have other people who are following Jesus and know him, and they're imitating him. And you can ask them for help, and they can help guide you in how to accurately handle the Word of God. Take it seriously. Speaking of which, in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they're not the most, you know, godly church at the time. Paul is writing to them while they're morally corrupt and struggling. And he's telling these believers who are struggling and morally corrupt, he's saying, you need to train like a professional. Take this seriously. Don't train like, you know, hey, do like a 30-minute run every day. He's saying, no, train like a professional athlete when you're running after Jesus, when you're seeking godliness. Exercise self-control in all things. Discipline your body. Make it your slave. He is taking this very seriously. And so what I see here is he's not talking to the, you know, professional Christians, quote unquote. He's not saying to the preachers, the teachers. He's not saying to the elders and deacons to do this. He's saying, believers, this is how you seek godliness. Train like a professional. Self-control, discipline. These are the things you need. Paul takes it very seriously, and he encourages me to do the same. In Hebrews 12:11, the author says, all discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Discipline doesn't feel good, especially when you first start. It's hard to build habits. It's hard to change what you're already doing in your life, how you're setting your ways. When you're working out, it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's painful sometimes, it hurts. When you're training spiritually, it hurts, because you have to discipline your life. You have to address the areas that hurt. You come humbly to the Lord and say, I'm struggling. That's hard. Jesus never says seeking him is easy. It's hard, but even though it's hard, we know that there's a future gain for it. We know that right now it may be difficult or it may be sorrowful. It does not seem joyful, but for those who have been trained by it, those who have pushed through, have disciplined themselves, have sought out self-control, have struggled, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There's a benefit that we get. There's a future gain that we look forward to when we're seeking godliness. The future gain is eternal rewards in heaven. The future gain is glorifying the God of the universe who gave you life. He created you. He gave you love. He gave you eternal life when he saved you by sending his son to die. You get to glorify that God. You get to be a part of his work. The reward is being a good and faithful servant and building his kingdom. We get to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. Souls can be saved for eternity through us being used by God. That's a reward. That's a reward that is not perishable. The reward that we have is confidence in our faith. Some have struggles in being confident in their faith. I've struggled before in doubting or being confident in what I believe or how I preach. Maybe I'm scared to share with others because I don't know enough. When you train in godliness, when you accurately learn how to handle the word, when you discipline yourself and you seek self-control in all things, as hard as it is, it's a constant growing thing, you gain confidence and boldness to share Jesus to the world. You have confidence that what you believe is truth. This is 100% truth, and there is no other truth in this world. We need to know this. The goal, as we move forward to this new year, and we're talking about resolutions and setting goals, the goal is godliness. And that really is Christlikeness. That's the goal. A Christlikeness that shows the world who Jesus is. We spent this whole holiday season remembering Jesus. Let's move into the new year chasing after him. So that's what I got. I'm going to pray real quick, and then Pastor Mike will come up. So let's pray. Lord, search our hearts. Search my heart, God. Show us where it is we need to grow, because, Lord, our heart is we want to glorify you. We want to show you to the world, because you have given us the greatest gift we could ever ask for. You've given us genuine peace, genuine love, genuine joy, and, Lord, the world needs that. We need that. Keep reminding us, but keep pressing us and using us to show that to the world. Be our focus. Be in front of our eyes constantly as we go into this new year. We want to run after you. Let your Spirit lead us as we discipline ourselves to grow in Christlikeness. We love you, God, and we thank you for everything you've given us and done for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.